we kind of are seeing a theme here, right? Is this the one I should use? This is fine, right? Okay, so last week I talked a lot about karma yoga, the path of work and activity. And this week the subject is personalizing the infinite. So I'm going to talk about bhakti yoga, which is the path of love and devotion. Does anybody know what the difference is between love and marriage? My husband is here, so I thought this would be a good one for today. People say love is blind, right? Love is blind. But marriage is eye-opening. That's kind of the theme of bhakti yoga, is how we learn from our relationships, through all kinds of relationships. Ernest Holmes says, "The infinite is personal to every soul that believes in the infinite." What is this infinite? What does that mean? You know, when I hear the word infinite or infinity, I think right away of Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond. Where infinity is this such a big concept to grasp, the infinite, never ending. How can we hold on to that when we are right here, right now, in this place, in this body? You know, when what we see is limited, we've got four walls around us. It's hard to see infinity when you've got four walls around you. And in Hinduism, we talk about God without form, which would be the infinite, Brahman. And then there's God with form, which is the personal, the Atman, the God, the universal energy that lives within each one of us, God expressing as each one of us. So now it's like bringing God home to us. It's personalizing God, because we can see God, we can see the infinite in each and every person. We see that little light that shines forth and makes us alive, that animates us, that gives us personality. You know, a lot of people think that in Hinduism, they call it a multi-theistic or a pantheistic religion. But it's not. It's really a monotheistic religion. There's one God in Hinduism, Brahman. That is that God without form. But in order for us to understand, they've created these personalities, which, you know, as I'm relating to younger people like my sons, I kind of explained it as the X-Men, because certain ones have certain powers, right? And then they're incarnated and they get higher powers and all this, you know, but they are immortal. And that's how Brahman is. It's never ending. It isn't born. It doesn't die. It lives forever and ever. You can't cut it. You can't burn it. All those things in the Gita. There's nothing you can do to destroy it. It is forever and ever and ever. So in the Hindu stories, it's like that we have the triumvirate is Brahma, who's the creator, Vishnu, who's the sustainer, and then Shiva, who's the destroyer. And those three concepts always have to be in play in the universe. It's like Lynn was saying about change. We need change. We need the destruction to bring in the new, to bring in the revitalized. This happens naturally. And instead of trying to fight it or go against it, we need to understand that this is a law of nature and ride with it and see how well it serves us. We are not in this universe. This universe is in us. We are the universe. When you think about what we're made up of, air, space, fire, water, earth, that's the same thing all the universe is made up of. We're this little microcosm. We're this little, like if you have a big mirror and you break it into a million pieces, every little mirror is going to reflect the same thing as the one big whole. It's all the same. So we need to look at it and say, this is me. And it's like, you know, the example I use a lot is, are we the soup or are we the potato? Well, the potato is in the soup, right? But the soup is in the potato too, because the potato's been cooking in the broth and the broth gets inside the potato, right? And then when you get tomato soup and you blend all the tomatoes up, you can't tell the difference between what's tomato and what's soup. It's all the same essence. And in Hinduism, they have the same thing about the ocean and the wave, or the gold and the ornaments. Like, you have a gold ring, you have a gold bracelet, you have a gold pendant, you have gold earrings. Well, is this earrings, bracelet, ring, pendant, or is it all gold? It's all made up of the same stuff. You melt it down and it's all the same stuff. And that's how we are with the universe. That's how we personalize the infinite. So bhakti is the path of love and devotion. There's a sage in India who says, the state of love is the state of grace. And in other religions, we say God is love, right? God is love. Love is God. Grace, love, God, it's all interchangeable. Faith. So in the language of bhakti, there are five different ways we can personalize God so that we can understand better who we are. That's the point of life, right? To know who we are. So the first way is called shanta. Shanta is loving God as a parent. And we've all heard this, you know, when you do the Lord's Prayer, Heavenly Father, we pray to, O Lord, my sweet Lord, Divine Mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with me, all that stuff. That is loving God as a parent. That is a very peaceful, calm, easy, steady kind of love. We know we can rely on our parent when we're little kids, right? We know that all our needs are met. When we're very young and little, we cry for mom, mom is there. That's what happens. So that's one way of knowing God. The second way is called dasya. This is serving God as our master. We think of God as we are a servant of God. We are here because of God, and we are here to do God's work. So this is how karma yogis think of it a lot of the time. There's one god in Hinduism called Hanuman. Have you guys heard of Hanuman? He's the monkey god. He is such a character, okay? We love this guy. There's a story about him where he lived during the time of Ram. So Ram was an incarnation of Vishnu, incarnation of Krishna, and then Ram came. And Ram was a very great, loving god. And Ram's brother was sick. So because God comes in personal human form, they can't always do miracles. They're limited by the human body. So he says to Hanuman, we need this certain herb, and it only grows on this certain mountain in this certain city. Can you go get me that herb so that I can save my brother? He needs this herb. Hanuman's like, I'm on it. So he flies, because he's got all these great powers. This monkey flies across, and he finds the city. He finds the mountain, and he's looking around, and he's like, wait a second, which herb is it? I don't know. What does it look like? What does it smell like? He's like, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know which one it is. So what does he do? He picks up the whole dang mountain and flies back to Rom and says, here you go. You pick it. I brought you the mountain. That's the kind of servant he was. He would do anything for Rom. He was so super devoted. Hanuman represents the evolved state of the unruly monkey. We all have that unruly monkey mind. You know, we've heard those terms before, that we can't concentrate, we don't know what to do. But Hanuman is that evolved state because he has strength. He has strength of mind. And where does that strength come from? That strength comes from his faith, that total faith and conviction. He totally loves Rom. And it's interesting because when Rom asked Hanuman, you know, of these five ways of seeing God, how do you see God? He said, well, most of the time I see God as he's my master and I'm a servant and I do God's work. But when I'm with you, I think of God as my friend. And that's the next kind of way that we can see God, is as a friend. It's called Sakya. And in a friendship, you have more equality. You have more like camaraderie. A friend is someone you can confide in. A friend is someone you can count on. A friend is someone you can tell your secrets to, that you can tell your wishes to, that you can, you know, brainstorm with, that you can be like camaraderie. And that's a great way to see God. And this is how in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna and Krishna were, right? They were like best friends. They grew up together. And Arjuna didn't know that Krishna was God incarnate until they were in the middle of this battlefield and they had this conversation. And then Arjuna is having a mental breakdown and Krishna says, okay, I'm just going to reveal myself to you. He reveals himself and Arjuna is like, oh, carelessly, I've addressed you as my comrade and my friend. I didn't know how great you were. Forgive me. Down I bend. He was like blown away. Big aha moment for him. Okay, so then the next way that we can see God is called Vatsalya. And this is truly beautiful. This is seeing God as our child. And we see this in the Christian faith with baby Jesus. And in the Hindu faith, we have this with baby Krishna. And I don't know if you guys were here one Christmas when I talked about at Christmas Eve, the birth of Jesus and the birth of Krishna and all the similarities that happened all through their lives. And it was amazing to see that they're really one and the same. And Hindus believe that Jesus was actually an incarnation of Vishnu too, because the maintainer has to come back to bring balance, to maintain the balance. And when there's too much evil or negativity or just bad vibes, it's like, do I have to come down there, you guys? Ugh, I guess I do. So he comes back and sets things right, gets us back into balance, reminds us of what's really important in life. We all understand Vatsalya, loving God as a child, because whether you have kids or whether you have pets or whether you have nieces or nephews, when you look at that little kid, you can't help but love them. You don't have to try to love them. You just automatically love them. Marcia, can you put up that one picture I sent you? Guess who this guy is? That's DJ. He's my little great nephew that I just had. And I am in love with this boy. He's got the bluest eyes. And how can you not love a baby? You know, he's only 3 months old. He doesn't do anything wrong. Sure, he screams and cries and has a temper tantrum. Who cares? We love him. We just love him. So I just had to share that because I got to brag, you know. In a mom's eyes, the kid can't do anything wrong. You're there for them. Okay, and then the last way we can see God is as our beloved, Matura. And that's how, when Vita was singing Ambrosia, that's how in a lot of these bhakti songs, love for God is expressed. You listen to the song and you're like, wow, that person must be so loved. And like, oh, that's amazing, deep devotion right there. And you look a little further and you're like, oh, that's love for God. One of the poets that we wrote a song with, we were inspired by her poems, is Mirabai. Mirabai was one of the great poets from India. And she was a bhakta. And a lot of people would have said she was crazy. Because from the moment she was born, all she wanted was Krishna. All she wanted was Krishna. She would be at the altar. She would sing for Krishna. She would dance for Krishna. She would say, I'm going to marry Krishna. When she was older, she said, I am married to Krishna. That was her whole life. And her parents were ready to lock her up because they're like, what the heck? And then they realized that she was like touched by God in some way, that she must have been this incarnated being, like maybe one of the gopis, one of the devotees of Krishna that has come back to remind us of the glories of being just immersed in that love 24/7 and the joy that it can bring us. So yeah, that's Mirabai. It's when you're like madly in love, intense love. You guys probably have heard of the poet Rumi. He's another one who's a bhakta, and we did a song inspired by his poems too. This is one of his good ones. He says, the minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. Is that intense? He wrote that about God. But I have to say, bhakti is love, not lust. And there's a difference, right? Lust is overly passionate, and we need to control our passions. We need to control our senses. We need to practice purity and steadiness. And sometimes that gets out of balance. I remember in the 90s, when I was writing songs way back then, Vito probably remembers that too. Almost every love song was like the Backstreet Boys song, you are my fire, my one desire. And I thought, oh, if I hear one more song that rhymes fire and desire, come on, get creative here. But that was like it. Like fire and desire was all about the love songs. But lust is about excess, and love is about purity. That's the difference. So we don't want to overindulge. You know, it's like the cupcake theory. You can have one cupcake. Great. Enjoy it. Love it. Appreciate it. And, you know, every bite, engage the senses and understand the beauty of it. But don't eat a dozen cupcakes because you're going to get sick. You're not going to like cupcakes after that. In the Bible, in John, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But what do we love? Bhakti teaches us to love the highest. In the Gita, it says, God is saying, of secrets I am silence, I am wisdom of the wise. I am the seed of all existence in every shape and size. Whatever beautiful or glorious or mighty that you see, know that it comes from a spark of me. So that's what reminds us. My son just texted me, he's going to Yosemite. I'm like, say hi to God for me, because you see those waterfalls, you see those mountains, and you're like, whoa, I'm in God's land. That is what reminds us. It's there, but it's here. It's here because we are seeing it. We are recognizing it. We are feeling it and connecting those dots. Love the highest. You know, Krishna says, many turn to worship for their own material gain. Here on earth, that is easy enough to attain. What does it matter, these things that don't last? What matters is what lasts, what endures, that infinite that doesn't go away. That's what matters. That's what we need to tap into. There's a Sanskrit name for God. There's lots of different names. Is Hari. So maybe you've heard Hari Krishna or Hari Ram or Hari Om. A lot of people say Hari Om as a greeting instead of hello, Hari Om. Hari means one who attracts things. And what are we attracted to? Think about it. The highest and the best. The stars, the mountains, those things that we think are beautiful. If we just see them as God and let us remind them, then it's like looking in a mirror. It's like knowing that every face that we see is the face of God. And today, I thought about how do I think about bhakti? And the one relationship in my life for sure is with my grandma Granich. And she's gone now. Today's her birthday, and she would have been 124 years old. She was born in 1901 or 1899, one of those. I can never remember. But she was such a bhakta because she was so full of love. When she hugged you, like, I'm the grandkid, of course, so I felt it. I felt it. And years later, after she had passed, I went to see Amma. You know Amma, the hugging saint? And I got a hug from Amma. And that hug brought me right back to my grandma Granich. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm with her right now. So I thought it was wonderful that today is her birthday and I could talk about her. Mother Teresa said, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into the giving. So today, go out and love. Go out wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly love, give, accept, be generous, and know that I love you too. Okay. Thank you.